The meditation of a sinner who was once thoughtless but begins to be awakened. Awake, O my forgetful soul. Awake from these wandering dreams. Turn you from this chase of vanity, and for a little while be persuaded by all these considerations to look forward and to look upward, at least for a few moments. Sufficient are the hours and days given to the labors and amusements of life. Do not grudge a short allotment of a few minutes to view yourself and your own immediate concerns, to reflect who and what you are, how it came to pass that you are here, and what you must quickly be. It is indeed as you have seen it now represented. You are a creature of God, formed and furnished by Him, and lodged in a body which He provided, in which He supports. A body in which He intends you only a transitory abode. Oh, think how soon this tabernacle must be dissolved, and you must return to God. And shall He, the One, infinite, eternal, ever blessed and ever glorious being, shall He be least of all regarded by you? Will you live and die with the character, saying by every one of your actions of every day to God, "Depart from me, for I desire not the knowledge of your ways"? The morning, the day, the evening, the night, every period of time has its excuses for this neglect. But, oh, what will these excuses appear when examined by His penetrating eye? They may delude me, but they cannot impose upon Him. Oh, you injured, neglected, provoked benefactor, when I think but for a moment or two of all your greatness and of all your goodness, I am astonished at this insensibility which has prevailed in my heart and even still prevails. I blush and am confounded to lift up my face before you. On a most transient review, I see that I have played the fool, that I have erred exceedingly, and yet this stupid heart of mine would make its having neglected you for so long a reason for going on to neglect you. I own it might justly be expected that with regard to you, every one of your rational creatures should be all duty and love, and that each heart should be full of a sense of your presence, and that a care to please you should swallow up every other care. Yet, you have not been in all my thoughts. In religion, the end and glory of my nature has been so strangely overlooked that I have hardly ever seriously asked my own heart what it is. I know if manners rest here, I perish. Yet I feel in my perverse nature a secret indisposition to pursue thee thoughts, a proneness, if not entirely, to dismiss them, yet to lay them aside for the present. My mind is perplexed and divided, but I am sure you who made me know what is best for me. I therefore beseech you that you will, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Let me not delay until it is forever too late. Pluck me as a brand out of the burning. Oh, break this fatal enchantment that holds down my affection to objects which my judgment comparatively despises. And let me at length come into so happy a state of mind that I may not be afraid to think of you and of myself. I may not be tempted to wish that you had not made me, or that you could forever forget me, that it may not be my best hope to perish like the brutes. O God, let me hear and obey. Let the words of your servant when pleading your cause be like goads to pierce into my mind. And let me rather feel and smart than die. Let them be as nails fastened in a sure place, that whatever mysteries as yet unknown or whatever difficulties there be in religion, if it be necessary, I may not finally neglect it, and that if it be expedient to attend immediately to it, I may no longer delay that attendance. And let your grace teach me the lesson I am so slow to learn and conquer, that strong opposition which I feel in my heart against the very thought of it. Hear these broken cries for the sake of your Son, who has taught and saved many a creature as untractable as I. And can out of stones raise up children unto Abraham. Amen. The Pathway to Prayer, Robert Hill, 1623. A godly prayer to be used at all times, especially if such is delight in this exercise, without weariness. Most High and Mighty God, and in your Son, Christ Jesus, our merciful, loving, and gracious Father, you have commanded us to come to you, and upon the knees of our hearts we come unto you, humbly entreating you. Before we begin to remove far from us all such impediments as usually Satan casts upon this exercise, and so to quicken us up by the spirit of supplication, that in fear and reverence of your great name, in faith and confidence of your gracious assistance, and in a feeling desire of the supply of our wants, we may put up and pour out our supplications to you, that as the messengers of our souls they may magnify our wants, as the petitioners of mercy they may sue for our pardon, and as proclaimers of your grace they may declare our thankfulness for all those mercies which we have received, and all those judgments which we have escaped. O Lord our God, we do hear in your presence, and blessed are we that we may come to your presence. Acknowledge and confess that we are of ourselves most woeful, wicked, and cursed creatures. The corruption of our natures, the iniquities of our lives do generally bear witness against us. But more particularly we confess that our hearts are full of infidelity, by reason whereof we do not, as we ought, either depend upon your providence for the things of this life, or believe your promises for the life to come. Do you visit us? We are impatient. Do you deny us our desires in this world? We are never contented with our estate. We are full of doubt for the life to come, and full of distrust for the things of this life. We are glued too much to this wicked world, and as though we said in our hearts, there is no God, our minds are greatly estranged from you. And alas, miserable wretches that we are, we delight in doing our own wills. It is not meat and drink to us to do your will. In the pride of our hearts, we exalt ourselves above you, and boast ourselves as though we had received nothing from you. We put away from us the evil day and live as though we should never die. We walk on in the hardness of our hearts, and by reason of the abundance of vainglory, we rather seek praise of men than your glory. Our souls are so filled with love to ourselves that we prefer our own pleasure, peace, and liberty before your majesty, or the love of our brethren. Yes, hypocrisy is so rooted in our souls that we content ourselves with a profession of piety, and do not labor for the power of godliness. And as for our lives, they abound with actual transgression against every one of your 10 commandments, having broken the same 10,000 times. We have lived in contempt of your providence, committed idolatry with your creatures, taken your glorious name in vain, and profaning of your most holy Sabbath. We, even we who should have been upright, have not regarded our betters, but envied our brethren, defiled our souls with unchaste desires, labored to be rich by unlawful means, disgraced our neighbors, and longed after that which was none of ours. We have heard your word, but we have not believed it. We have known the word, but have not practiced it. We have come to your house without reverence, approached to your table without repentance, and practiced many sins without remorse. Do we do any good? We please ourselves too much. Do we do any evil? We fear you too little. We are weary of praying when we talk with you. We are careless in hearing when you speak to us. If we read your sacred and holy word, it is not sweet. to us as a honeycomb, but we delight more even in ungodly books. Yes, the pampering of our bellies, the pride of our apparel, the negligence in our calling, the misspending of our time, our vain confidence at the Lord's table, our wandering eyes, our wanton lusts, our ambitious minds, our covetous desires, our ungodly speeches, our lascivious ears, our censoring of our brethren, our sins and recreations, our unwillingness to labor, our unfaithfulness in life, our forgetfulness of death, and our abuse of your mercies, especially in Christ, testify against us that we have sinned against heaven and against you and are no more worthy to be called your children. Are we ashamed of this and reclaim from it? No, we are not ashamed, but howsoever it has pleased you to use the many means, is partly by your word, and partly by your spirit, and partly by your mercies, and partly by your judgments, to the end we might be reclaimed from our crooked ways. Yet we have contemned your word, the ministry of salvation, grieved your spirit, the earnest of our inheritance, abuse your mercies, the pledges of your love, and forgotten your judgments, the messengers of your wrath. Enter not into judgment with us, your servants. O Lord, for then shall no flesh live and be justified in your sight. Be merciful unto us in forgiving our sins past, and be gracious to us in preventing sins to come. Correct us, O Lord, but with mercy, not in your judgment, for then shall we be consumed and brought to nothing. Open our blind eyes that we may come to a particular knowledge of our particular sins, especially such as we are most given to. Soften our hard and stony hearts that we may sigh and groan under the burden of them. Make us displeased with ourselves because by sin we have dishonored your majesty. Stir up our dead and dull hearts that we may hunger after Christ and his righteousness, and after every drop of his precious blood. And that Son of yours, look on us, your servant, and for his merits and righteousness, vouchsafe, good God, mercifully and freely to do away all our offenses. Wash them away in his blood, and by the purity of his spirit, cleanse our hearts from the pollution and impurity of them all. Say to our souls, you are our salvation. Let your spirit in our hearts cry, Abba, Father. Teach us your way, and we shall walk in your truth. Unite our hearts to you, that we may fear your name. And because through corruption in our hearts and sin in our lives our faith is feeble and our confidence is small, we humbly beseech you to strengthen our faith by the daily meditation and particular application of your merciful promises made to us in your Son, that neither in the dangers of this world, nor in the troubles of our conscience, nor in the hour of death, we would fall from you. Gracious Father, expel out of our hearts our carnal confidence, the underminer of our faith, and teach us in the spirit of true humility to deny ourselves and to rely upon you only, in the merit of Christ and the manner of our salvation. And because it is not enough to come to you by prayer and to sue you for pardon, but all that are in Christ must be new creatures, therefore we call upon you for the spirit of regeneration. Mortify by this the corruptions of our flesh, and quicken us by this in the inner man. By the power of Christ's death, let us die to sin. And by the power of his resurrection, let us rise to righteousness and newness of life. Let the one as a corrosive eat up the dead flesh of ungodliness, and the other as a spur stir us up to holiness. Illuminate our minds that we may know your will. Give us spiritual understanding to discern good and evil. Sanctify our memories to treasure up good things. Purify our consciences to have peace in you. Reform our wills to do your will, and let all our affections be ordered aright. Teach us to fear you continually, wheresoever we are, to neglect all things in regard of Christ, to love you and our brethren for your sake, to be zealous of your glory, to be grieved at our own and others' sins, and joyful when we can please you. Let our bodies, the instruments of sin, be ever hereafter cleansed by your Spirit, that they may be temples for that Spirit to dwell in. Keep our eyes from beholding vanity, our ears from hearkening to variety, our mouths from speaking blasphemy, our hands from committing of iniquity, and our bodies from the action of adultery. Let our light so shine before men that they, seeing our good works, may glorify you, our Heavenly Father. Make us to remember that as we are sons, we must depend upon you. As we are servants, we must obey you. And as we are Christians, we ought to walk worthy of our vocation and calling. And because we have all some particular calling, either of rule or service or trust or favor, make us from the highest to the lowest faithful in our callings, and to remember that a day will come in which we must give an account to you of all our actions done in this flesh, whether they be good or evil. Take away from us all opportunity of sinning, and make us ever thankful that we live so as we want to lure men to many sins. Cause us to see how deformed sin is in itself, and to what confusion it is like to bring us. Lord, make us to fly to very occasion of sin, and to resist the beginnings of all temptation. Let not a night pass over our heads in which we examine not how we have spent the day. Never let us come into any company in which we may not do or receive some good. Keep us, that we fashion not ourselves to this world, but rather imitate the fashion of the most godly in our callings. Let us never count any sin to be a little one, because that our Savior died for the least of them, and because we live in dangerous times wherein many are withdrawn from the profession of your truth. Lord, give us hearts never to entertain any such doctrine which cannot be warranted out of your word, nor to admit of any such teachers as go about to withdraw us from obedience to our governors. And if in any one fall into any sin, let us restore such an one with a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, that we may also be tempted. We further acknowledge that our life is a warfare upon the earth. Our enemies are sin, Satan, and the world. Lord, help us in the spiritual combat. Are we weak? Be our strength. Are we tempted? With the temptation, give an issue. May we be overcome. Teach us to watch over our own hearts and ways. Is there any one sin which we are weak to resist? Any act of temptation, give us power to resist it, that by this means we may have as just cause to praise you in our conquests. As we have many reasons to humble ourselves in our foils, we see also, most all-seeing God, that none can live godly in this world, but they must suffer persecutions. Either Ishmael will revile them with a reproachful tongue, or Esau will pursue them with a bloody sword. What now must we do in these days of trial? Where shall we come for help but to you? To you, therefore, must we come. O Lord, craving wisdom to perceive, providence to prevent, patience to bear, and hearts to be prepared for this fiery trial, that by the denial of ourselves, distasting the world and liking of heaven and heavenly things, we may make a good use even of the least affliction. Confound in every one of us the cursed works of the devil. Increase in us daily the gifts of your Spirit. Fit us for such callings in which you have or will place us, and make us to refer the strength of our bodies, the gifts of our mind, our credit in this world, and whatsoever grace you have already or will hereafter bestow upon us, to the glory of your name, the good of your church, and the eternal salvation of our own souls. And howsoever we live here in this Babylon of the world, Let our conversation be ever in heaven, that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do else, we may hear always his voice sounding in our ears, Arise, you dead, and come to judgment. Many other things have we to beg for ourselves, that our ignorance knows not to ask, or forgetfulness remembers not to ask. Hear us for them, in the name of your beloved Son, and give us leave now to pray to you for others. There are no Christian people at any time assembled, but they are ready to pray for us, and therefore it is our duty to pray for them. We therefore commend to you your whole church and each member of the same. Be good and gracious to the churches of England, Scotland, France, and Ireland, in America. Give the gospel a free passage everywhere, and put on a means by which it may be published where it is not, or maintained where it is. Do not divide, O indivisible God, Ephraim against Manasseh, nor Manasseh against Ephraim, nor both of them against Judah. The coat of your Son was without seam. Let the church of your Son be without seam. Our adversaries got ground and work upon our division. Knit us together, that their work may be as the confusion of Babel. Are there any means to hinder the current of your gospel? Stop them in the head. Poison them in the stream. Stay them in the river, and let their labor be like his that would repair Jericho. To descend be good to the light of our eyes, the breach of our nostrils, the procurer of our happiness. You are Solomon, our king. Preserve his body in health, his soul in soundness, his heart in your truth, his life in honor, his honor from underminers and his ears from flatterers, the bane of each kingdom. Keep us that we may ever maintain your truth. Defend us against the insinuation of practicing papists who will never wish well to us unless they see we wish ill to you. Let your good spirit be with Josiah, our prince. Season his young years with the knowledge of your will, that as he grows in years, so he may grow in stature and favor both with God and men. Be good to those who have the instruction of him, and make them instruments of much good that may be done by him. Preserve with these our gracious queen. Let us see her as a fruitful vine about the king's house, and her children like to olive plants round about his table. And because the preachers of your word are the pillars of your church, bless them all from the highest to the lowest, that both by life and doctrine they may set out your most holy word. Take from the great the spirit of ambition, and from the mean the spirit of contention, that both may labor as much as they may to oppose themselves against a common adversary, and not to advantage him by intestine division. Bless the people of this land, such as are called, confirm them, such as are not, convert them, and to that purpose send a faithful pastor into each congregation who may speak a word in due season to them. Touch all our hearts from the highest to the lowest with true repentance, that your judgments present and imminent may be prevented and removed. Your mercy still continue to us and our posterity after us, especially in the true ministry of the word and sacraments, that such as survive us may praise your name. Be merciful to all your afflicted ones, be they sick in bed, distressed in conscience, pinched with poverty, disgraced for your truth, or kept in prison and delivered to death. Relieve them in their necessity. Strengthen them in their weakness, comfort them in their distress, mitigate their sorrows, and turn all their troubles to your glory and their good. To this end, give your servants comfort by your word, sufficiency of things needful for them. Bless the fruits of the earth. Be good to our kinsfolk in the flesh, our friends in the spirit, and those to whom we are anywise bound in or desire to be commended to you in these our prayers and supplications. Have mercy upon us now, calling upon your name. Forgive our sins and manifold defects in this holy duty, accepting at our hands this our obedience in Christ. And because you have been good to us in so many ways, maketh thankful to you for all your mercies is our election in your love, our redemption by your Son, our sanctification through your Spirit, our preservation by your providence, our health and body, peace of conscience, our life in your church, our gracious governors, our painful preachers, our Christian friends, our desire to please you, and that we have the ministration of your word and sacraments and can show love even to our enemies. We thank you for all the graces of your Spirit and faith in your promises, hope of eternal life, fear of your name, love of your majesty, zeal to your glory, affection to our brethren, patience under the cross, strength against our several temptations, humility, gentleness, meekness, forbearing, and many other gifts and graces of your Spirit, all which we acknowledge have proceeded from your mere mercy. Let us not be negligent in the use of all good means by which your grace may daily grow up in us. Bless us now and ever hereafter. Keep us in all our ills, on all that are near about us, from fire, water, pestilence, and all dangers whatsoever. Grant us all such a portion of your grace that whether we stay at home or go abroad, watch or sleep, eat or drink, by your cell, be in labor or recreation, we may ever labor to glorify your high and great name in the works of such callings as you shall call us to and fit us for, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name and in whose words we further call upon you, saying, Our Father, and so on. Bless us and keep us, O Lord, make your face shine upon us. Grant unto us your sweet and everlasting peace, especially that peace of conscience which the world cannot give. With the pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins this day at this time, and heretofore committed against you, with a blessing upon your church and your spiritual children everywhere, as well as though we had named them, through Christ our Lord and only Savior. Amen.